Lauren, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, as much as Prime Minister Malcolm Turnbull might talk about changing the sexist culture in politics, is this a setback or an indication that nothing is actually changing?
Look, the fact that we're talking about it and that it has been called out and received at least some media attention, that's a really good thing. And in this culture, that's certainly a departure from the past where we've tended to sort of sweep this kind of behaviour under the carpet. So calling it out, us talking about it, highlighting that this is really not okay in 2016, I think these are important steps. They're not steps that the Prime Minister has actually engaged in himself. In fact, if you think about the photo circulation, he was actually placing the blame on the media outlet for republishing the pixelated photo, as opposed to calling out the person who actually sent the image in the first place to his colleagues. And I think that's a misstep on the Prime Minister's part and inconsistent with his fresh image that he's trying to present.
Now, the article by Samantha Maiden, which inspired Dutton to shoot off his now infamous text, pointed out that Briggs wasn't necessarily made to step down due to his treatment of a junior staffer, but more because he had potentially made a fool of himself while representing Australia. What do you make of this?
Yeah, and I think there is some merit to that because the junior staffer chose not to lodge a formal complaint. So in that sense, you don't really have any case to work with in terms of actually it going through due process. What you do have, however, is Briggs admitting that he acted inappropriately in a bar, and particularly on an overseas mission or on overseas tour. In any case, the same sexual harassment rules apply as if you were in Sydney, as if you were in Canberra. So there is also that fact that he's taken his sort of bad behaviour offshore, as well as, you know, really bringing a kind of negative light to Australian behaviour, to Australian politics, given that he was there to represent Australia. It was not just a personal holiday. He was actually there in an official capacity.
Now, what about the reaction surrounding Briggs now? With many of his colleagues, they're bringing out the whole, oh, a man can't even have a couple of drinks and make a comment to a woman anymore. That whole attitude is sort of coming out now. What sort of consequences will this have?
Yeah, and look, there's always the fear of backlash. And this is, you know, the backlash against feminism, if you like, has been around since the mid-80s, where any kind of redistribution of power, any time men are called out for bad behaviour, they start, some men start talking about things like, oh, it's political correctness gone mad. And I think this is probably indicative of that, where, you know, this argument a man can't have a couple of drinks. Well, a man can have a couple of drinks, provided that he can tolerate his drink, as opposed to doing so at a work function where his behaviour is likely to get messy. If that's the case, he needs to not drink, because we've got pretty strict sexual harassment laws in Australia, and they're quite clear about what conduct is and isn't appropriate.
No, definitely agree there. Now, Immigration Minister Peter Dutton did send that text calling Samantha Maiden a mad witch. And just putting aside for a second the hilarity of him actually sending it to the person.
And the confusing thing of how that actually happened.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting scenario there. So putting aside all that, do you think the use of language was inherently sexist in this message?
I'm not sure that his intention was necessarily to be misogynist. I think it's more about the highlighting the fact that this kind of behaviour is actually internalised. Thinking of women in the context of words like bitch, witch, words that we've seen in the past that have very, not only animalistic origins, but are exclusively linked to women. You know, there aren't male equivalents of these words. You know, things like crone, for example, if a woman is older, witch is quite similar. These are words that we only ever hear applied to women. Therefore, even if his intention wasn't to be a misogynist, that's what comes out, because it seems apparent to me that it's almost second nature for him to think in those personal attacks against the journalist as opposed to criticising her content of her article, which, as you'd know if you ever did high school debating, you're taught quite early on. You know, you fight the idea, not the person. You don't attack them individually. That's really poor form. But it's also actually just really sloppy debating.
Now, just finally, do you think the coverage that we've seen with the staffer in question, pretty much all but personally named by The Australian, do you think this will continue to make it difficult for women in tenuous positions to call out behaviour of powerful men in future, or has the subsequent counter-reaction indicated the culture is changing?
Look, I think there's always going to be that fear that there is a consequence for a woman who calls that bad behaviour. And I think some women will be deterred from doing it in the future, others will be empowered. And I think until we stop that culture where we do actually punish, be it inadvertently or not, a woman who dares say this behaviour is not on, that kind of pattern is going to continue. But this happens to, you know, female journalists, female opinion writers. I've had all kinds of ridiculous things sent to me, both on comments pages, on online articles, and personally in my email. If you dare call out sexism, there is a consequence to be paid. And some women will be that will shut them down. For others, that will be the fire in the belly that continues the struggle.
Well, thanks so much for joining us on The Daily, Lauren.
Anytime. Thanks, Tess. Cheers.
Thanks.